Right now it's time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. You can find them on the web at tqag.com and right here on Robin Hood Radio. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, good morning.
All right. I have been sent forth with instructions from my boss once again, guys.
Oh, boy.
I've got a story here, and it relates actually back to what happened around here, even though it's not the exact same circumstances with the Berkshire Museum when they wanted to change what they were doing and sell some of their art. It wound up in court. It was an auction. Finally, it did go through. But let's change our tune and go to the Baltimore Museum of Art. The Board of Trustees voted Wednesday calling off an auction and sale that would have sent potentially irreplaceable artworks out of Maryland. Are you guys, have you been following that story at all?
No, that one we haven't. That just must have happened.
Yeah, it three paintings were going to be sold and at Sotheby's Auction House in New York, and a third painting had been headed for a private sale. And critics, not only there, but at worldwide raid in, they threatened to take away $50 million in planned gifts if they went through and did this. So the museum decided to not go through and do with this. I guess if you're threatened with losing $50 million in planned gifts, you're really just aggravating people if you go through with it. And you're really offsetting the money that you're going to raise by selling it.
Well, it depends on what this is. Well, a controversy that has been going on for a long time, not just with this museum, but people seem to think that museums are always for just holding stuff in perpetuity. And sometimes it depends on what the mission is. And if it doesn't fit the mission, I mean, and this is where the controversy comes in. If it doesn't fit your mission, then there's a school of thought that says get rid of it and then focus on what your mission is. But then you have the museum purists who think, okay, well, I donated this to a museum and I want it there in perpetuity, even if it doesn't fit their mission, because it's a museum.
Okay, and I'm just going to jump in because I've read a couple of stories, and there's one in particular that really just it sums it all up. And it just says, the Baltimore Museum of Art, however, took the move as an opportunity to rebalance its collection away from the overrepresentation of white male artists. The plan was to sell a few high-profile pieces to capitalize the purchase of artwork by women and people of color. Now, if that's the direction that they want to go, and that's where they're going, that, you know, that's one thing. If the board is then saying, "Wait, we're going to pull all this other money because we don't want that," there's a lot of issues that are here. So it's more than just, are they sticking to their mission? Are they trying to alter the mission and change the overrepresentation of white male artists and making it more diverse? Since we're having that conversation in America, it just makes sense. But then to have the board and other supporters threaten to pull funding because the reality is that wouldn't they be wanting to get behind all that? Well, great, hold on to those artists, but now let's do more fundraising. If you're not going to give us some more money so we can buy some of these other artwork.
Well, here's what I don't understand, and because I'm a layperson, and you hear people this art, by the way, was donated by John Waters. So if somebody donates art to a museum, and they put on it that they want the art to remain in the museum and not be sold, I'm not sure whether or not that was included in this or not. But if an institution takes something in a donation like that, to me they should obviously follow through with that.
Well, correct. So these are two different things, Marshall. There's,
okay.
There's the items that were going to be sold. That was from their collection. John Waters just announced that yes, he will donate his entire collection. And there is diversity, but there is a lot of course, the Warhols and some other white males, let's just say, that were included in that. So that's one thing. He also did put a restriction, basically, on it, that it can't be sold. And here is, it's got to be available for viewing things. And with the John Waters story, he also insisted that two bathrooms be named after him and also an auditorium. So there were some other provisions that went along with that. With the restriction, that also can affect, you know, if there are restrictions placed on a donation. And as an appraiser, we just have to ask, are there restrictions, and state that in the report. But there could be some financial things. You know, the IRS decides, well, if there are restrictions on this, then you might not be able to get the full fair market value. And these are things that must be discussed with a tax advisor or financial planner. And, you know, and the way that all is calculated. So it's two different things. And I think what the Baltimore, you know, it's almost an embarrassment of riches, because they have this big collection that was just announced, and now they have these items that they're trying to sell, and, oh, we're going to cut all this funding if you do sell this. It's a conundrum.
This seems to be happening more and more around the country with museums.
Well, it's not a new thing. It's been happening for...
I think it's more publicized.
Yeah, more publicized, for sure, because I know we have been living through this since we've been doing this for the past 25 or 30 years. We've worked as we volunteered to be on the collections committee of one of our local historic museums down here, number of years ago, and we had a similar issue because people were just going overseas and bringing back a lot of tourism souvenirs, and then because they were donors to the museum, when they passed, they decided they were going to will their entire collection of just basically junk to the museum, because they were on the board or they were major donors. And it turns out that it took a long time for this to come to fruition, but they were actually able to refocus the mission of the museum to include an enormous car collection, and they got rid of the little collections of things that had no historic relevance to the area which the museum is about, or they were able to get to sell the items and use the money to put towards their new collection. So this is an issue that has been ongoing in museums. It's just a lot of times it's in secret.
Well, yes, there are some things there. And what's interesting is in this article in the Los Angeles Times is basically they said that the Baltimore Museum of Art has become the poster child for how not to go about this, is that they were looked at this. But the article also goes in to say that the funding that was pledged, the $50 million, those were pledges, oral pledges, and were not anything that was in writing and was not figured into their budget. And the museum director was saying, well, if they are so inclined and if they are so displeased with the way that we're doing things and they want to pull their pledges, then that's entirely up to them. And they also had some board members who resigned as well in response to this. And they said, we appreciate their time, but they are looking to move into the future also of trying to support what their mission is, not only in their collection, but also in their programming. And that this the sale of these paintings that was going to help fund not only the diversity of artists, whether it be male, female or artists of color, but adding that diversity, but also adding diversity of programs and also in helping with salaries. And I think it was the Association of Museum Directors, or there's an association of museums that, of course, they loosened restrictions a bit because of the pandemic, but they're worried that because of that, there are also some institutions that may be taking advantage of that and just using that as an excuse to say, wait, we need to do this for general funds and different things. And every museum is different in the way that they handle how they go about their deaccession policies and what the money is used for. And are there restrictions? Is it just on collections and not on operating? So it's a much bigger issue that's going on. And I think we're going to continue to have conversations about this. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
You know, what's interesting about this whole thing is, and I was amazed, there are still a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people that think you can just walk into a museum and these huge museums just walk in free of charge and maybe have to wait in the line because it's crowded. But it's not that way. These places, like this nonprofit radio station and other nonprofits, need to make enough money so you can continue offering the services you offer.
My personal opinion, and I've always felt this, and this is why there's a kind of a fine line that both Tim and I are walking right now, because I feel a slightly differently than Tim does on this. I believe that it's a good thing to every once in a while to cull the collection and refocus the collection so that you can get new eyes and new donors in there. And if that means that things that are no longer towards your stated mission, then as far, in my opinion, I believe that's a good time to update your collection, and if that means selling something in order to get something that is more focused towards your collection and your point of view for that museum, I'm all for it. And
well, and Greg, I would say I agree with you in the sense that as long as the mission isn't changing every 3 months, and it's not this, you know, if it's okay, we've done this now in an order. Here is our next long-term goal for the next 15 years, 20 years, whatever it is. And this is what it is. And that's, I think, the problem that people don't understand is that maybe these museums, they have made this commitment. They want to do this. At the end of the Los Angeles Times article was great. This is from the museum. And it says, our vision and our goals have not changed, the museum said. It will take us longer to achieve them, but we will do so through all means at our disposal. That is our mission, and we stand behind it. And when you know that, wait, this is what they're doing, and some people may not agree with it, and that's fine. And they may pull their money, and they may feel that, okay, this is influential, and that'll raise a ruckus. So maybe, okay, we'll pull the items. This is controversial. It's a hot topic. But the museums, like this one, where they really, their goal is to add diversity and to change not only in their programming, but also in their collection and their mission, well, then for something like that, I can say I totally understand where they're going and how they're going about it.
Now, do museums do what governments do is that they're required to come up with a 5-year plan and list the main objectives of what they need to raise money for and spend money for in various towns. And that way it gives them a pathway. Okay, year number one, we do this. Year number two, we do this. Year number three. Do museums do things like that and then put that plan out to the patrons to take a look to see how they feel about it?
Depends on the museum.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how large that is and the, you know, the business background, because it's even when I was in the auction business, it's very similar. It's it depends on what the bean counters, the account side, yeah, and how they meet with the creative side. And I think you, in a museum, you definitely need that sort of business leadership and saying, here's how we're going to get there. Here's our 30-year plan, our 20-year plan, our 10-year plan, and our 5-year plan. And I think in looking at that, and yeah, you know, they may change as you go, but it's that 5-year plan. It's how are we going to get there and what are we going to do that is really important. So it just depends on the size of the museum, yeah, too.
All right, guys. Hey, turned into a pretty something I understood.
Hey.
All right, guys. We'll check with you next week.
Okay.
Sounds good. Have a good week.
Take care. Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This, TQAG.com on the web.